Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Hey, Voice of the Kings, Kyle Draper's going to join us in an hour. And then... Sean Cunningham. I had Sean on in a while. I haven't. I can't remember last time. Been a while for me, at least. Sean's going to join us at 9. That'll be fun. Sean is everywhere, always, and forever. Before we get to... Excuse me. Before we get to Jordy Fernandez, I just wanted to put this somewhere. This is Nevada State Assemblywoman Danielle Gallant. She put out a video yesterday on Twitter to kind of the opposition that is growing by leaps and bounds in Las Vegas for the A's coming there and the way the stadium is built. Is growing and growing, and she was one of the people that voted for the funding. And she titled it, Nevada is not paying for the A's new stadium. I'm just going to give you a little clip of what she put out there. And I'm going to unmute it, and here we go.
Far from the truth. The A's are securing private funding to pay for the stadium. However, what's happening is because the A's are going to bring billions of tax dollars to the state between the labor that they're going to employ during the building of it, between the amount of employees that they are going to be employing over the lifetime of the state.
You get the point. She's saying, you know, the tourism, the employee, everything, the tax dollars. By the way, if it sounds like a car alarm in the background, yeah, it's a dog.
Oh.
That was probably whining because she didn't know what the hell she was talking about. Because if you roll down and you read her just getting absolutely taken to task, she goes on to explain that Clark County, when asked about the bonds and how could that possibly not be construed as helping build the stadium, she says, Clark County makes so much money off the interest, and once the stadium is built, we own it free and clear. Pretty nice asset added to our books. Well, there's a couple of things that were pointed out to her. Number one, that's not how bonds work. Mm. You're paying the interest to the bondholders. The city is actually going to pay interest on the bonds. And when it comes to the asset you get, the asset is used by the team, and it's a depreciating asset. But because, and here's where it's fun, because the city technically owns the asset, i.e. the stadium, they're responsible for all upkeep and maintenance of the stadium. John Fisher may be a lot of things. He ain't stupid when it comes to stuff like this. So not only is Vegas on the hook for the stadium itself as far as upkeep, they are, in fact, paying or helping to pay with $325 million for the stadium to be built. And she was one of the ones that voted yes on it. Also received a nice donation from the Oakland Athletics as part of her reelection campaign or whatever. Mm. It's so dirty there.
And shocking.
Shocking, I tell you. And that thing is, there was a very rather large online presence called Vital Vegas that does a lot of Vegas news, this, that, whatever, is making the rounds saying, yeah, this thing is dead on arrival. Like, not happening. I don't know if I'm there yet, but the rumors of, or the rumors, the path between Sacramento and Vegas for the Oakland Athletics is not as free and clear as I think a lot want you to believe. So stay tuned on that. We'll be on that all summer long. It's going to be incredibly interesting. Somebody on the YouTube chat, as we get to Jordy, wants to know if I could beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one. God, no. If I got one, she's 6 feet tall. My only chance is, like, if we're playing one-on-one and it's, like, losers outs, and I just, like, hit a three. Like, just that's literally my only chance to score. Like, what are you talking about? She's 6 feet tall. I've got her by a good 4 inches. Hey, now. I might get all bad. I mean, and I would put the over-under. If we played one-on-one to 11, I would say the over-under on my scoring would be half a point. Half a basket.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I could luck out.
What if you had a few months to train?
Yeah, I know, right? But, I mean, it's not necessarily, yes, obviously, cardio-wise, woof. I would, again, we got Jordy here. I'm being ADD. I will repeat again. I played at a high school varsity level. That's my peak of my athleticism. And I will always tell the story of playing against Del Campo's Daniel Viglione at a 24-hour fitness. He used to go down there for regular runs. This was 2-3 years after she got out of school. This was like my athletic. This is why I could play basketball. Again, at a high school varsity level. Nothing more. And it was a pretty good run. There was a pretty good players on the floor, at least, again, from a high school varsity standpoint. She was easily the best player on the floor. Yeah. Easily.
Right.
Not the best girl. Easily the best player on the floor, to the point where I finally got switched onto her team. And, you know, as winners stay on, and I think we were on for like 4 or 5 straight times, which rarely happened. Usually you win 1, 2, 3 in a row max, and then you're done. It's not people. The whole could a WNBA player play in the NBA? That I don't think so. The whole like, oh, I could, you know, no, you can't. You actually can't. And I wish that we could. I would actually watch a TV show where dudes on Twitter would like bag on the girls game and like, oh, they're the girls. Bag on the women's game. Apologies. I would watch a TV show where it's like, okay, here's Asia Wilson. Yeah. You know what? Not even them.
Who does that ad now? Taco Bell. Like, hey, Dave said Taco Bell only hits at night. It's like Sudeikis comes in and he calls out the people that said that. They should do the same kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not even a star.
Right.
Like Frieda Johnson, a ninth player on the Sparks. I don't know. And she just works the guy that like owns the games down at the YMCA. And then like a little interview afterwards where the guy's like, yeah, here's my tweet. Boy, was I wrong. And then they have to like hold up a sign that says, I will never disrespect women's basketball again for like an hour on the street.
Anyone who's ever seen that, go and see just a college women's practice.
Seriously.
And you'll see like, oh, I could never do this.
Ever, ever, ever. It's a different level. Anyways. Jordy Fernandez. Going to the Nets. I think.
That's better than the Charlotte opportunity, isn't it?
I think so. Also, by the way, might not be the only coach the Kings lose. Lindsey Harding's still out there.
Mm-hmm. And Jordy, in theory, could take people with him.
That is true. And she could get the Charlotte job.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, according to reports, that he will, I'm sure, after the Kings season ends, whenever that may be, will probably within a day or two have a press conference and be officially installed as the new coach of the Brooklyn Nets. It's very rare. Regardless of the situation that you see, Kings fans pretty much have the same reaction to something, but I can tell you every single person's reaction that I have seen to this, including my own, is congratulations, well-deserved, Jordy deserves it, good luck to him and his family, this is an amazing opportunity, couldn't think of a better hire, oh man.
Yeah, we're going to miss him. Yeah, and then the other part too is, oh well, if he did take a job, at least he went to the East. Because remember last year, there was a lot of talk about him and the Phoenix Suns. I'm like, oh, no. Him with that talent, I didn't like that idea. But, I mean, for the Kings, selfishly. For him, I'm sure he would have. But now he's going to Brooklyn. Wish him certainly the best there. When that happens, hopefully we're way a ways from that happening.
Yes, hopefully. Yes, I would. And again, like we talked about, I hope that I hope we send Jordy away with a championship ring. Exactly. Give him a start. As far as what he did here, you know, he was their defense coach. I mean, he's the coach, but kind of ran their defense for Mike Brown. You know, it's not exactly like the NFL, but let's just put it in NFL terms. You know, you have Kyle Shanahan, who's the head coach, and then you have your offensive and defensive coordinators. He would have been the closest to the defensive coordinator for Mike Brown. You could say, I think from a perspective, like, wow, he got a coaching job and he ran this team's defense. They're not great defensively.
Well, they made strides, huge strides this year.
I think that's the correct answer, is that, look, you can only cook with the ingredients you're given. This is not this is not, for the most part, although there's pieces with Ellis and Mitchell and Keegan and the guy who led the league in steals, De'Aaron Fox. There are pieces, but where Jordy really came in was really instituting defensive principles and, as you said, making strides from last year to this year. You know, there was the game where Mike Brown got thrown out last year and Jordy took over and they came back and won. I think it was Toronto, wasn't it? So now you wonder who would move up into that spot. It would seem that maybe the obvious one would be Doug Christie, defense for defense, and that's a guy that could come up. And I don't know if Doug's position on the bench is requisite with basically becoming an associate head coach, but that's not what they have to do. Doug was already front of the bench. So maybe, you know, Jordy was really kind of an associate head coach.
Yeah.
Maybe they, you know, and by the way, that's no disrespect to Doug. He's had an amazing coaching career. I just wonder if, because he's, year three, I think, maybe four, no, three, going into year, year three. He was, because he was on Luke's staff.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. You know what? Screw it. Give him the defensive coordinator job. But either way, and there's also thoughts. I heard somebody yesterday, you know, Mike Brown and Mike Budenholzer know each other a little bit. Budenholzer's on the beach right now.
Jay Triano, who's there, has been a head coach before too.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of, yeah. You know, they're not just going to let that go for next year.
Correct.
Also, let me see. We'll get into Kings Warriors at 7:30. I'm going to put that there because we got to take a break. I have a question, by the way, that one I really wanted to get into yesterday, and I was out. I had a question for you guys as far as to how these NBA awards are awarded. We've talked about this a little bit before, but I really do want to get into it. It's one of those things in sports that is an obvious fix that really – it's kind of like college rules OT in the NFL. Why don't they just do that? And they keep inching closer. This is one of those no-brainers, I think, and I need you to poke holes in what I'm saying.
Okay.
We'll take a break right now, though. When we come back, just 1 minute. Three for Madness. Let's talk about the playoff matchups. And also tonight's Kings Warriors game as well. We'll do all that next.
It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
Sean Cunningham coming up in 45 minutes. When we get back next
time. 45 minutes.
What'd I say?
Sean in 45.
Sean, huh?
In 45 minutes. You said Sean.
Kyle in 45. Yeah. Did you just say Sean in 45, though, too?
I said Sean in an hour 45.
There it is. That's what, yeah, I said an hour 45. You guys didn't hear that? Weird. Kyle Draper in 45 minutes. Kings Warriors coming up next. We'll continue to preview all that. Remember, right here on Sacktown Sports at 7 p.m. tonight, Gary Gerald on the call with Jason Ross and friends. Christopher Law, question one, three for Madness.
Same as yesterday, Dave. Which non-Kings matchup are you most excited for?
You rolled this over for me. Milwaukee and Indiana, honestly. I am kind of stoked for that because Indiana handled Milwaukee this year. Doc Rivers has so far been an absolute disaster in Milwaukee, just based on what their expectations are and the fact that Adrian Griffin had the best record in the Eastern Conference and Doc ended up coaching the All-Star game on the back of Adrian Griffin. By the way, there's another guy I wouldn't mind having replace Jordy Fernandez. I even mentioned that. Bring Adrian Griffin in. That would be quite interesting. You've also got the Tyrese Halliburton, Sabonis, you know, yeah. Whatever. Let's not lie. That's still there. I think it's going to be interesting. Will Milwaukee turn into playoff Milwaukee and Indiana's a very, much like the Kings, a very new contender? Or will Indiana you know, figure it out. It's going to be really interesting to me, though, Jason. If Indiana wins this series and the Bucks, the three seed, get wow. They got to take a look at Doc, right?
Sure, absolutely. It's they not fell
like,
apart.
It's not like his it's not like that hire wasn't being questioned, not just the firing of Griffin, but the hiring of Rivers, who doesn't have, some would say, the most tremendous track record in the playoffs. You got to take another look.
Yeah, I would say the two that first-round non-Kings, I really look forward to Dallas and the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I think that has potential to be a great series. And then, you know, we don't know who it'll be, and I guess it still, in theory, could be Atlanta or Chicago, but I assume the Philly-Miami loser will get the 8 seed, and then they get Boston. So Boston could have to play Miami in the first round, or Boston could have to play Philly in the first round after having the most dominant regular season this year. That is pretty tough for a 1 seed to get either Miami or Philly. So that's brutal.
We should be doing our picks at some point, right? Spoiler alert, I think Boston's going to roll through everyone.
Okay.
I really do. Yeah. I don't want to overthink it. I think Boston's just going to pretty much annihilate every team they play. Could be wrong.
Yeah.
Tough for me to see. I just don't see
a lot. They're the team with the least flaws. Like, every team is flawed.
Sure.
Every single one.
But yeah. Number two, please.
Question two.
Will the Kings-Warriors game be too much for you to take?
Yes. Yes, it will. I know this. I know that the lead up to it, the game itself, and then whatever, win or lose, I know that I go in confident that it's the equivalent probably of smoking about 4 packs of cigarettes. It's the equivalent of a few bottles of gin. I know that it's going to take minutes, if not hours, maybe a day off my life. I know that. Now, that being said, gentlemen, I have a reverse question for you based on that. It's basketball Jesus time. He's coming down the chimney. Because that's where basketball Jesus comes from. He says, fellas, I got an opportunity for you. I'm not going to tell you what day you're going to kick the bucket. You're going to live a nice life. Let's just put it that way. Relax. But I have an opportunity for the Kings to win the title this year for you. Okay? But I'm going to need 6 months of your life. In other words, you might die at 85, you may die at 60, but it's going to cost you an extra 6 months, but you're going to see the Kings win a title. Do you take it?
I'd say, basketball Jesus.
Yes. Yes, my son.
Can you ask that question to Dave?
I take it. I would. I look, 6 months is a lot of time, but that 6 months could be pooping in a bed. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to be
those
like.
Those are the crappy months.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, literally.
Now, what I can't guarantee where it really sucks, take away some of what I said earlier because that ruins this bit, but what really sucks is like if you have like 8 more years to live, and then you're that changes the ball game there, but basketball Jesus isn't telling you. It could be a year from now. Heck, what would be really lame is if it was 6 months from now. But either way, you don't know when you're going, but you know that you're going to have 6 months left on this or less.
That would be cruel if you had 6 months and right? You didn't even see the finish of the game.
That's basketball devil.
It was 5 months and like 25 days you have left. And then so you die.
The Kings are
going to
win, man.
Right. Oh, my God, I think they're going to. That's it. You're done. I know, right? That's what it sounds like when someone dies. Chris, 6 months.
And you are getting a...
championship.
But like...
Oh, a championship?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was just a win tonight.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, a ring, a title, like, a parade.
Oh, gotcha.
No, championship.
Gotcha. Sorry, that's why maybe it was my delay.
6 months off the end of your life, whenever that may be. Okay, and I'll even throw this in. And my son, I guarantee you will get to see the championship. And no tomfoolery. You will see the championship and the parade and all of that.
So this is NBA Genie.
That too. NBA Jesus. Yes.
Jesus. From the chimney.
From the chimney.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want to think about that?
Yeah, I'll do that.
You'll do that?
Yeah.
Jason?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Sure. Yeah. Sure, I'll knock 6 months off.
Why not? Let's do it.
Why not? Number three, please.
Question three.
If the Kings do beat the Warriors, would that change your mind on this being a successful season?
It would adjust my mind. I would say it would put the ranking up. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10 right now, I think the season was a 4, okay? And I think anything above 5, I think 7 or above is successful. I think if the Kings beat the Warriors tonight, that would move it up to from 4 to somewhere around a 6. And then if I think they beat the Lakers, I think that would move it up to like a 7.5.
I'm trying to understand your scale. So what was the 20 win seasons?
Those were like ones, twos.
Okay.
But I'll say this again. The 20 win seasons to me were less stressful than this year.
Okay.
Because I knew they sucked. They didn't underachieve. They just sucked.
Yeah.
This team doesn't suck.
Right.
They're very good.
Right.
They have the capability of beating anyone except Boston in the NBA, New Orleans, and Houston.
Yeah, my scale would be higher for you. But my stance all along has been like the true value, the true rating of what I think their success was getting to the second round. Mm-hmm. So tonight could end that.
Yes.
It could also keep that hope alive. But, you know, you could win tonight and lose Friday. And you still didn't get there. Like,
okay.
There's a lot of moving parts here. Like, I never really took this at all, in my own opinion, on regular season. I thought the regular season was kind of irrelevant, with the exception of you need to win to get yourself into a chance to the postseason. So, you know, they could have had Boston's year and lost in the first round. And yeah, I would have thought that would have been a failure in a sense.
Let me see here. I'm going to write this down for the next segment because we have breaking news right now. I have a counter, though. Maybe.
When it breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sacktown Sports Breaking News.
I guess we should adjust that because we don't have it first. Like, I'm getting this breaking news. I guess we're always lying when we say that. When it breaks, we are quick to read it off of Twitter. The Milwaukee Bucks, who we were just talking about, are preparing to be without two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo for the start of their opening round series against the Pacers, but our hopeful treatment on his left calf strain will allow him to return at some point later in this series. Mm. To say that that is devastating news for the Bucks is an understatement. Obviously, there's more devastating.
Dame time.
This is one of the reasons you got Dame Lillard in a weird backwards way, I guess. And again, I know nobody's thinking this way except maybe him in a weird way that he wouldn't talk about, but I wouldn't say that's good news for Doc Rivers, but you just got an excuse in your back pocket.
Yeah.
You just got a built-in excuse in your back pocket if you for go sure. down in this series. So Giannis Antetokounmpo will miss the start of the Pacers-Bucks series, and TBD on when he returns. When we come back, we got to talk about the draft, how Scottie Scheffler celebrated the Masters, but we got to get into Kings-Warriors first. And in a weird, weird way, Jason, I think I might, on your whole, what rates the season as a success of all people, I think I'm going to try to talk you down from that. I'm gonna try to lower your expectations in a positive way for the Kings. I know, right?
Okay.
I'm gonna try to lower your threshold for grading and defend the Kings' season, possibly.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm, gross. We'll take a break. When we come back, all that next.
Sports.
It's game day. Broke out the hockey jersey for good luck. Broke out the Mike Bibby nail clippers. Nails will be nice and short this evening. Doing all we can. Jason, before we braked it, you said that, you know, as far as grading the season all along for you, it was they made the first round last year. And by the way,
I'm also utilized. This is kind of a Monty and Mike Brown. Like, this is, I think, a team thought.
Yes, I think you're right.
So I'm not. It's not fan. No. It's not. This is. I'm going off their words.
So if I've got, I just want to make sure I have it right. That all along, and you've been consistent with this. Hey, made the first round last year. So building on that, a successful season would be, you know, one main grade would be advancing to the second round. Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's so, growth, right? I mean, as far as
growth.
Did well I'll put it this way. Like I said, like they could have had the Boston season.
Yes.
We'd all be very, very excited, but incredibly disappointed if they got to the first round as a one seed and lost.
Yes, of course.
So what did the regular – like to me, I almost felt like the regular season was irrelevant unless, of course, they won 25 games and they didn't even have a chance to be here. Then it's like, okay, that's a failed season off of last year.
I don't know if – I believe what I'm about to say, but here's what my counter would be like. Yeah, on the surface, you're right. First round last year, second round this year. But one thing you've been saying all year long that's absolutely true is the West got a lot better.
Clearly, this is a 9-10. It was 3-6 last year.
They're healthier. They're more talented. The West got a lot better, number one. Number two, the Kings have not had the injury luck this year that they did last year. And by the way, let me be clear. We don't get to post-mortem say, well, if we had Monk and Herter, because we had Monk and Herter for all those stupid losses earlier. But the fact of the matter is losing Monk's a big deal, especially. If the Kings were to be able to send the Warriors home, then go to L.A., send the Lakers home, and then they were to once again, last year they played the sixth seed. This year they go up against the number one seed. No home court advantage, and that series goes 6 or 7, and they lose. I could see that as being more accomplished. That you technically advanced 2 postseason rounds,
right?
If you squint and tilt your head, and then you took the one seed and gave them all they had. I'm not saying I'm landing on that. I'm saying I think that's the counter.
Right. No, and I'm not even saying that's like. I guess if by semantics saying, hey, clearly you didn't get to the second round, that equals failure. That's not, I think there's a lot of nuance in here too, right? I mean, there's, it's always in how you look at things because, look, I think if you and I had this conversation before the year and we said, when we fast forward to the end of the year, the Kings are going to be a top 15 defense, I would say they're finishing in the top 3 in the West for sure. Yeah.
Yep.
This offense is too good.
100%.
I don't know what the road will look like through 82, but you're going to tell me they have the same roster. They're going to be a top 15 defense.
Right.
That's going to be a great team. I don't think they're a great team. They're good.
Yeah.
But they're a top 15 defense, which I'm stunned by.
I am.
They haven't been as good offensively. They do have injuries now. They're not playing their best.
But top half of the league on defense.
Yeah. So, you can squint, like you said, look at it and go, that's growth. That's better. Like, that's the staying power of what they wanted to be more of a threat.
Sure.
Come postseason time. But they've made this really difficult for them. This path. I mean, it's difficult for the Warriors, too. Let's be honest. I mean, the Warriors, they could win tonight. They're favored to win. Sure, they could win Friday. But it's about as difficult as it can get to just get to an 8 seed.
You hope Mike Brown is right and knows what he's talking about when he says we're learning some really – I want Mike Brown at some point next year when the Kings are 30-10 to say, last year I said we're learning some very valuable lessons. This is part of it. This win tonight doesn't happen if we don't have that loss last year.
Well, and, let's go to our own Sacramento Kings personal history that we all recite the best times, our late 90s, early 2000s, right? 2000s for the Kings. Well, the first run through was that 5-game classic with the Jazz. It was awesome.
Yes.
The next year they got swept by the Lakers.
That's right.
Or the next year they lost in five. The Lakers. But
the following year they got swept by the Lakers in the second round.
Second round. Yeah. So, I mean, it took some time. Some years were better. Maybe the record. Why were they a 6 seed? Now they're 4. Now they're 1. They're 2.
Right.
I mean, you kind of go all over the board. But they are overall. Bro, I mean, like, this is better. This is better than they've been. This is the growth they've been looking for.
Yeah.
But they need some big wins.
And their Peja Stojakovic just had his second year and took over for Corliss Williamson. I mean, honestly, that's Keegan to me a little bit. From the 530, you can text us at 916-339-1140. This is probably a stupid question, but how does the play-in work? If they lose, are they done? It's not a stupid question. A lot of people are asking that. This is still fairly new. The answer is yes. If they lose, they're done. If the Kings are the 9 seed, they host the 10 seed Warriors tonight, and whoever loses is done. The Kings will then, if they win, they will win the loser of the 7-8 game, which in this case, the Pelicans are 7. They're hosting the Lakers, who are 8. Let's just assume the Pelicans win. That's it. They're the 7 seed. Now the 8 seed is open, so the Kings would then travel to L.A., play the Lakers, and the winner of that one game will become the 8 seed.
Yeah, and then that that is the example. The advantage is to be 7 or 8. Kings right. are not. Warriors are not. They're 9-10. It is a win or your season is over. And technically, the other part, I asked this question, and maybe I'll ask it tonight at the arena because I literally don't know the answer. By theory, by definition, this is not a playoff game. This is not, the Kings did not make the playoffs. But if – and I also – they're not regular season stats to my knowledge. So
– yes, that's right. They don't count.
I feel like it just kind of evaporates. So, like, let's say, Dave, like De'Aaron Fox goes off for 60, a franchise – Sacramento franchise record. Where does that go? Does it count?
I don't think it does.
We'll just go, hey, remember that day De'Aaron scored 60?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it didn't really show up anywhere.
One thing I wanted to run to you on is, do you remember who won the scoring title last year?
Last year?
I'll give you a hint. It's a big guy in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Boban.
33.1 points per game for Joel Embiid. Luka was second at 32.4, then followed by Dame, Shea, Giannis, Jason Tatum, and Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
Jason, I would submit to you the following. Do you know who should have won the scoring title last year?
Are you doing total points?
Jason Tatum, who was sixth, technically. Jason Tatum actually scored almost 50 more points last year than Joel Embiid. I saw this, and it comes up every time they do this. I don't know why the NBA does this. They're the only ones, I think, that do. And I just feel like if somebody brought it up and there was a discussion about it, unless there's a hole in this I can't find, the fact that the NBA goes by per game to me is absolutely stupid. I don't understand that. We had this conversation a long time ago. Imagine the home run leader in baseball is not Aaron Judge with 60. It's Billy Brown Shoes with 0.4 per game, even though he had an injury and he had 10 less home runs than Judge.
Yeah.
The RBI leaders, the runs leaders, stolen bases. How about football? Well, Tom Brady did throw for 51 touchdowns. But Josh Allen threw for 38, but he missed four games. He's the touchdown leader, the yardage leader. Oh, this guy won the rushing title because he averaged 86.4 yards per game, not the 1,800 that other dude had but played in all 17. They talk about, especially in the NBA more than anything, and they've made strides on this or tried to with the whole resting, load management, all that stuff. This is a really good way, just institutionally, not to stop load management, but again, last year, the best ability is availability.
Yeah.
If you lead the league in points, you're the scoring champion. If you lead the league, and apologies to this, because this, just to prove I don't have an agenda here. If that were the case, I believe all of the awards would stay the same this year, except for, I'm going to lose some Kings fans here, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander would be the steals leader.
Yeah,
I think he had him by two. And I'm sorry, De'Aaron, but you know, again, this is an overall thing.
Yeah, it's weird because I guess, like, we're back to semantics. I think we would get comfortable with it if from the get-go. What was the total number of points for whoever the leader was last year, Embiid or even Luka this year?
For Embiid, the total amount of points last year was 2,183, and Jason Tatum had 2,225.
Oh, so 2,225. So at some point, would it sound weird because we don't do it this way in broadcast? Oh, here's Tatum at the line. He's got 2,000 points on the season.
Like, as opposed to what he's averaging,
you know, but that's only because we're used to it.
Sure.
100%. You might say Jason Tatum has hit a league high 305 3-pointers. We don't say that's 2.6 per game.
No, we don't. And in baseball, you know, it's not as big a number. But again, like Aaron Judge has 60 home runs, Mike Trout has 58.
Right.
You know, on the last day of the season, they do the math to figure out what David Robinson needs to pass Hakeem. Right. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about just not having to do the math and be like, well, he's 39 points, or De'Aaron Fox needs 5 steals to pass Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, or DeMontis Sabonis has to get at least 11 rebounds. You're rewarding, in a sense, let me change that. You're not rewarding the people that are there every game. Now, if I have a team, and I have a choice, Jason, between – You, who scores 2,000 points a game, or Chris Verlod, who scores 1,800 points a season, excuse me, but Chris missed 20 games and his average is 10 points more. I'm taking you because I'm not just getting your points per game. The other players are benefiting because you're getting double teamed.
Right.
There's all the fringe benefits of you being on the floor. You're the more, and we're not in an MVP conversation, but you're the more valuable player right. because you're playing so much. I don't know why the NBA does it this way. I need to find somebody in the NBA offices and say, guys, it's going to take a little bit of marketing. It's going to take a little bit of something to get used to. But can we all agree that totals are better than points per game? Baseball doesn't do it. Football doesn't do it for the most part.
And I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong on this, I bet LeBron's not the highest scoring average.
The highest scoring, what do you mean?
Like he's the all-time scoring leader.
Oh, I
so
gotcha.
We do, there we do, in that case, we do points, right?
1,000 billion percent.
I bet, I know Jordan, well, I'm fairly confident it's higher score. Yeah, it's got to be. Jordan and Iverson's might be higher career scoring average.
I would be surprised if LeBron, I don't think LeBron's top 10.
I bet he is.
I'm pulling it up right now. Who has you? Let's see here. Okay, I was wrong. LeBron James averages 27.1 points per game
for his career.
For his career, which is seventh.
Okay, but still the all-time leading. So we count him as the all-time leading scorer.
But he's seventh in points per game.
Where everything else for the regular season for a scoring champ, it would be points per game.
Jordan, Jackson, actually, sorry, Biggie. Jordan, Chamberlain, Doncic, Embiid, Elgin Baylor, and Kevin Durant all have higher scoring averages. Now, you could throw something in there, obviously, like, well, you know, a minimum of games.
Yeah, well, but those guys have all played enough games.
Jerry West and Allen Iverson right behind LeBron James, George Gervin to fill out the top 10. Again, thank you for making that point. You're 100% right. That's not how we, it's not how we do it,
yeah.
But we switch it around. It's just, again, it's not the... It's not the crazy thing. From the 916, what would you consider baseball when they do batting? Well, again, baseball's got your averages, your slugging and all that. Totally get it. But your hits leader is not who has the highest average. Your hits leader is your hits leader. Your RBI leader, your home run leader.
Well, the hits leader, but the batting champion
the batting
is
champion.
Average.
And now for me, I think the batting champion, again, this is me. If baseball came out and said the batting champion is going to be the guy with the most hits on the year.
Yeah. ERA is not but, the fewest runs
no,
allowed.
No, it's not. Here's the caveat. Baseball's a little different, though, because if you walk, it's not an at-bat, an error. You know, they have different – it's not like if LeBron makes a three and is fouled, it doesn't count.
Right.
You know, so baseball's a little bit of a different animal. Anyways, we'll take a break. When we come back, the Caitlin Clark effect. The draft happened, and there's been some backlash. I want to talk about that. A's lose, Giants win, and – Scotty Scheffler celebrated in a very Scotty Scheffler way. We'll talk about that next.
In the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
All right. Stat question from the text line. Should players get an assist if a shot leads to a made free throw? I actually, again, screwing with the stat records, I actually think that there should be assists awarded. There should be half measures. If my assist directly leads to your free throws, I get a half point if you make one, or I get a half assist if you make one, I get a full assist if you make two. If you make three, whatever, it's still one assist anyways. I do think it's kind of lame when somebody gets robbed of an assist when you make a great pass and leads directly to the shot. Oh, he gets fouled. Well, it's also like the quarterback not getting the yardage on pass interference. I kind of think they should get that yardage. But I also like the hockey assist in the NBA too. That would be the other half assist. Like, if I pass to you in the key and you immediately pass to dude, I should get a half assist on that. But then, of course, you'd have people averaging like 14 and a half assists a game. So I get it. We did put out the question of the day. If basketball Jesus came to you and said he would guarantee a Kings title this season, but in exchange you have to give up 6 months off the end of your life. And by the way, you're going to get to see, you're not, we asked the caveat, you'll be able to see the title and the parade and all that. So, because someone said, well, what if you're supposed to die in 5 months? No, you get to see all of that. But you got to give 6 months off the end of your life, whenever that may be. Do you take the deal? Already 400 votes in, okay, in like 5 minutes. 56% say what, gentlemen? Would you or would you not take the deal?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
56% say yes. I actually think that's a little bit, that's a little lower than I thought it would be. Just because I think, first off, hitting yes on a Twitter poll is a lot different than staring basketball Jesus in his beautiful blue eyes or whatever they are and saying yes, knowing. So I think
they're basketball eyes.
They're basketball. Yes, they're actually yes. They're Brown. They're Spaldings. Mm-hmm. I do think that whatever the final results of this poll are, in reality, I would probably drop the yeses about 10%. Because I do think when it came That's down safe. To it,
yeah,
people be like,
nah. Like, I'm going to say yes, then you get there. Like,
I don't know. Yes, because maybe I die in a year. So right. Whatever. Some of the answers, Jason, just because they're fun and exciting. They range all over the place. Winning a championship wouldn't feel satisfying if you knew it was coming. So I say no. 100% yes. As long as the 6 months doesn't cause me to miss the parade, we covered that. 6 months ain't S word. Yes, Paul says this is the easiest yes of all time. How many years has being a Kings fan already taken off your life? What, six more months? Pretty sure the Kings have already shortened my life due to stress. This just guarantees I get to see the promised land. And then Greg from Kings Herald says, nope, as cool as a title would be, it's just sports. 6 more months of being around for my family is worth way more.
Dork.
What a dork.
If the Kings were to win a championship, just the celebration, I would probably lose more than 6 months.
That's right, for real. Like, I haven't. If the Kings won a championship, is Sacramento the type of town where, like, are they going to have to grease the poles? You know what
we'll
I'm saying?
We'll get squirrely.
Okay.
Don't you think?
There will be people jumping in the river.
Ew. Yeah, you're right, though. Okay, so they probably have to grease the light poles. Okay. Guys.
Wasn't Philly like the worst where they were eating?
Yeah, eating dog poop.
Yeah.
Or oh, was it a dog?
It was horse.
A horse, yeah. All right. Chris. I like asking Chris these questions. Would there be at least one car overturned in this?
Oh, yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I'll turn my own over.
Yeah. Would there be a car on fire? Yeah. You think so? Yeah. I say no. I think we would stop at overturning a car.
Do you remember when, like, it was a while back when, did Vancouver win the Stanley Cup? When it was, like, absolute bedlam there. And it was just, like, you never even thought that Vancouver was, like, capable of something like this.
I know what you're talking about. Because I remember having the conversation, like, they're Canadian.
Yeah. It might be like that.
I would.
What if it's Kings Pacers? In the championship game.
Oh, God. Don't do that, dude. Jeez.
You couldn't handle that?
I mean, I couldn't handle any of it. But, yes, having the whole, like, Sabonis. Because it wouldn't be the Kings Pacers. It would be Sabonis Halliburton. No one else would even play.
Yeah.
Ashley, what's up?
Ashley?
Ashley. And there we are. Hi. Hello. Good morning. Hi.
Hello. Good morning. So, a couple things. First off, that question that you posed is a no-brainer for me. I would definitely sacrifice 6 months at the end of my life.
That's right. Sacrificing lives for the Kings to win a title. That's where we're at. Well done, Ashley.
Exactly. And not only that, but I would even dare to say that I would take off a year off the end of my life just because that's how much this team means to me. And I'm ready for today. I think that we actually are going to be able to beat the Warriors, which is going to be awesome. And besides that, I just want to say, Dave, I know you're not ready for, or I know you're ready for the season to end, but in a week or two, I'm going to be calling, letting you know about it.
In the list of things that I would wish upon a star for, Ashley, my kids to have a nice life, my wife to be happy, world hunger, whatever. Okay. But somewhere in the top 10, Ashley, is I hope you make that phone call. And when you do, I'm going to bring you right on. And I want you to say nothing, whatever you want. Told you so. You're a stupid idiot. Like, I want to be dragged so hard for not having faith that this team would make the first round of the playoffs. I would welcome that so much. So just write that down, keep the receipts, and I hope to hear from you next week.
Well, do I remember you saying that. So I wrote it down then.
Love it. Thank you.
There you go.
I'm asking for it. I want to be so abused on social media. I want the abuse. Let's keep that context though, please. Also, by the way, Ashley kind of gave me an idea. I think after this poll is done, I think we should have a future segment that is okay. You know how like you go around for Friday Fun and Games, and mm-hmm. you know it's like name colors in the rainbow, and we all bid. Let's bid on months of our life we'd be willing to sacrifice. Breaking who out there?
January. Oh, never mind.
Who's really willing to win a championship out here? Scottie Scheffler was in a dive bar in Texas with his green jacket on when he got back home as a way to celebrate.
Where's the baby?
I guess the baby has not shown up yet, although I did see a very large online poll about Scottie Scheffler's baby. If you don't know, his wife was just about to pop, and he had said no matter where he was in the tournament, he was walking off, which if you're his wife and you know that he said he's leaving the tournament regardless because he wants to be there for his firstborn child, Are you telling him when he's three strokes up on 14 on Sunday?
No.
I'm not either.
No, but that's their own family personal decision.
Sure.
Because I feel like he would be mad then, too.
I think he would, but you know he'd be mad with a second green jacket, buddy. And the little baby has like a little baby green onesie. The poll, by the way, the winner, if it's a girl, he's got to name it Azalea and or name her Azalea. And if it's a boy, you name it what we talked about, August for August.
Why not Vern?
Hey, Vern, you saw the handshake between Tiger and Vern.
The tree.
Did you see the camera? You see Tiger on the left, and you see a tree blocking Vern Lundquist. Yeah. And then you see a hand looking like it's coming from the tree.
Hello, Mr. Woods.
And did you see the thing on the best tweet? Yeah. It's one of those tweets where you're so jealous. It's actually not that funny. But
kind of funny.
It showed a picture of back when Tiger was having the issues with his wife. And he in his driveway, he had crashed his car into the tree. It showed that picture. And then it showed the picture of Tiger shaking hands with the tree. And it said something like, all right, buddy, all is forgiven. Like, best.
Apology accepted.
Apology accepted. Shaking hands with a tree. Also, that's what happens if you drop mushrooms in Augusta. Mm. That's what you're eventually doing. You're shaking hands with a tree. Anyway, didn't have a great by the way, didn't have the best Saturday and Sunday.
Not Saturday and Sunday, but he made the cut.
Made the
cut. History made.
That's all that matters. We will take a break. When we come back, Drapes!
Drapes!
Return of the favor. I crashed his show last week. He's actually a scheduled guest this week. Mr. Optimism, Kyle Draper, joining us next. But first, I want to talk to you about the game tonight. I want to talk to you about fans showing up, those Sacramento true diehard fans showing up. 48 minutes. We need that energy level going. This is the one time where maybe lower level folks, maybe if you're going to go into the lounges, time it out, right? Get there nice and early. Get all your food and everything so you can be out there for the start of the game. Don't be in the lounges till, 5 into the first, 10 into the third. We need that energy nonstop. And if you want to know how to get that energy, go no further than my friends at American Energy Heating and Air. Make the switch to electric this spring. Save big with American Energy. Stay ahead of the spiking energy bills this summer with up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra-high efficiency comfort system. American Energy is providing huge rebates from SMUD as well as spring specials by installing one of many incredibly efficient AC options available to you right now. Get rid of those fluctuating gas bills in the winter and switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let them perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis and see where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. They're the best. Been in business since 1981. A-plus Better Business Bureau. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. Now that's 916-520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com. Kyle Draper coming up next.